this week. We were so sorry to know what happened to one of the teachers there.
Brother Douglas?
Yes.
Yes, that was saying.
We didn't know him, but that, you know, that was just kind of, I don't know, it was the most cruel thing.
It was a very special thing.
Well, I taught in the country schools, and I taught the whole group, but sometimes if I had too many lessons to be heard, I would have the older girls help me with the work. And so I found it was promoted a little, down in Stowell. Became a principal of the, well, we were just four teachers. I was in the school as far as I ever got in.
That sounds good, though.
Well, I had $100 a month and thought that was a good salary.
What year was that?
That was in 17 and 18. Mm-hmm. When I married in summer of 18.
What about entertainments? What sort of things did you do for social events and entertainments? I know you told me about the movie house, but was there anything else?
Nothing else that I know of. Of course, I me and would get together occasionally and play dominoes, I suppose. And the women, I don't know, we just, when anyone had a birthday, we had a big birthday party for them. That was about it. But
how about showers and christenings and so forth?
Well, I didn't see a christening the whole years that I lived there. Mm-hmm. And I attended just one shower. I don't think that was a common thing at all.
I guess people were pretty busy.
They were too poor to have any things
too
I had.
Uh-huh.
They did well to live over the salaries.
Yeah.
When there was a wedding or something, was there usually a big party? With a wedding?
Yeah. Well, usually the most... There are a few weddings for... and any special interest. Most often were just go in the church and get married and leave, you know. A few of them now, I see in Clyde Thompson had a swell wedding when they were married. And that's the only big wedding that I remember a lot of.
Do you think that the changes in transportation from the old horse-drawn days to the way things are now have made a huge difference in the character of the town of Double?
I suppose they have, because that when they just had the horse and buggy, there was very, I think there aren't too many buggies either. And not very many people had horses because they couldn't keep them, you know, they had it mainly on foot.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went anywhere, they got on the train, the TSC train, and went to where they wanted to go if they were going out of town. And now, of course, those people go from Dybal to all the larger towns for a lot of their entertainment. Do they have very many events, special events down there now? Many public parties and things like that?
I have a good little bit. They have a lot of showers and things like that. And there's a lot of activities always provided for the kids. They have summer recreation programs, the library provides summer programs. There's a lot of entertainment provided.
And the Dyball Day is a big event, isn't it?
Right. That Dyball Day is still really big.
It is. And
when did that get started?
Back
And once a year, Arthur and Lottie used to give a party and have everybody come.
Oh,
But it took several different days to do it, you know. They'd have one group this day and another this day and another this day. But I don't know whether they do now or not. Do they ever have this?
They used to around Christmas time, but they haven't had it in the last, I guess, 10 years probably.
Yeah.
Quite a while.
The town got so large, it
couldn't
contain
everything. Right, it really kind of outgrew it from that.
Did they have it at their house, or where was it?
In their home.
In their home. How did they divide up who was going to come one day and who was going to come another day?
Well, they did. I don't know how they did that, but sometimes it was some of them thought they should have been invited to one group and they were invited to another.
I think they tried to take part of the department, what department you worked in.
But they had very nice parties.
That's a wonderful idea.
Telephone, portable telephone.
Oh, is that what the...
Yeah, it saves me many steps.
Oh, good. Let's see. What about the Civilian Conservation Corps? Did you have anything to do about that, or did you know people who were in it?
No, I did not. I don't know if there was any interest in that branch at the time I was there. That was 48 years ago.
How about labor relations? Relations between the company and the people who were working? Were there any organizing of unions or anything like that that you remember?
Well, the relation between the temples, they came to Duval, and they visited Mr. DeWalker and the Rutlands, Mr. Bud Rutland, his family. He was the head of the store, commissary, and that's in the hotel. And they came there strictly for business. And if they visited any of the homes, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed there a few days, and Mr. T.L. Temple, the oldest one who started the company, he used to sit on the porch out there with the rooming house where the boys' room, single boys' room, and just sit there and look over town, and you'd wish you could go and say something to him, but you couldn't, you know. Of course, you weren't supposed to.
Hmm. What would have happened if you did?
Why, he'd been just as nice as he could be.
Yeah. You knew that, but
yeah.
Still people didn't go and bother.
Didn't do it.
That's really interesting about how a family can have such an impact on an area.
Isn't it, though? And one time Mr. Temple said that he just regretted so much that when his wife was living, he couldn't give her the things that he had thought of giving her and the things she wanted. But now she said, I could give her anything she wanted, but she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he never remarried.
Mm-hmm. That is a sad thing. How about the some of the things that Roosevelt did, like setting up Social Security? I think that was a good idea.
I'm afraid that's what's about to bankrupt us now, but however, I couldn't say that I wouldn't have to have him do it if I had to say so, because that is the life, just life to so many people now, you know. I don't know what they're going to do if they could have food stamps for the poor and if they could giving Social Security, which they talk, you know, is it sometime we may not have it.
Yeah.
But
with kind of scary,
isn't it? Yes, it's kind of serious to think about what will become of those people that have just grown so used to having it,
mm-hmm,
that they just don't know what they could do without it.
Mm-hmm. It is scary. Do you think that the Depression could happen again in our country?
Yes, ma'am. I certainly do. I'm afraid I got uneasy about the banks and I'm afraid that after the president is elected, I think things are going on just like they are now. Probably until the president is elected. And then, watch out. I'm afraid that things will not be too good.
Do you think that there will be a recession?
I feel like there could be.
Yeah, I sure wonder about that myself. How about changes you might have noticed in the land around here? I know that there was a lot of cotton farming earlier, and then, of course, there was timbering. How did it used to look in the old days?
Well, when I came here, there was only one farm, and it was a tobacco farm. It was out in the northern part of town. And the cotton industry was all spent. It was over with. And there was one old tumble-down gin in this town, but it didn't operate after I came here. Mm. And I don't know whether they did die, but I didn't get out into the country enough to know whether the cotton farming was going on there or not.
But there was tobacco farming.
There was one tobacco farming.
I wonder how they sold their crop.
I don't know. I just know that people here always refer to it still as a tobacco farm. You know?
But it was mostly timber, as far as you
know,
yes. For your whole life.
Yes, yes. Timber.
Well, when you think back over your life, do you think that there are any things that you might have done differently if you could? Or are you glad about the way everything turned out?
Well, I don't know. I just don't know whether I would change many things, but I just can't express myself for that. I
okay,
don't know.
Fair enough. That's a hard question. Really, are there any stories that you feel like telling us about old times? Funny things that happened, or funny characters that we ought to know about?
Well, I might tell you the difference of Santa Claus in the old days and now.
Okay.
When Santa Claus came in the old days, children hung their stockings up before the fireplace, or they had a fireplace. And they usually, in the morning, they would get up and they would be popcorn and candy, sometimes the homemade candy. And if they had one present, a ball or a doll, or they were just happy and so well satisfied, and thought they'd had a big Santa Claus. But now, nothing. Old Santa Claus has just gone wild. And there's no telling how many toys each child gets. And he looks at them and he plays with them a little while, and then he throws them down, and he doesn't know what he wants to play with them. And the elderly people, they didn't expect that much on Christmas. They gave each other a little present if they had it, but sometimes they didn't have it. And that was all right. Now it's very, for Christmas is going to be a very extravagant, expensive thing.
I sure agree with you. I think an awful lot of people regret that, and yet we seem to be caught in it, like we're caught in a lot of other commercial things.
Yes. I think if a child has just one or two toys, he can play with those, but there's so many toys confusing.
I think so, too. Yeah. And a child perceives his parents as living in a kind of throwaway culture, too, and that's what he learns, that behavior.
Yeah.
Throwing away stuff that their usefulness doesn't last.
And I think the clothes, I think we've all got so extravagant in our dress. I know nearly every woman has a closet full of dresses that maybe that she never wears, and she just cords them up or something. And, used to have just two or three dresses, and you were just always keeping them ready to get into, and you were proud of them and enjoyed them. And now that they're going to start to go somewhere, they just have to make up their mind what they're going to wear. And that's another great change in life.
Sometimes the making up your mind part takes longer than the getting ready part.
Yes, it does. Sometimes when you wear one, well, you wish you wore the other. Life's just a rush now. I think it's just a mad rush.
Well, talking about clothes, how did you all used to get most of your material? Did you make clothes from material, or were there some dry goods stores where you could get ready-made things?
Well, there were dry goods stores where there was ready-made materials, cloth, and of course millinery stores where they had hats, and also the in Gonzales, where I lived, part of my life, they had a cotton mill, and they made cloth at this cotton mill. And I remember when calico, that was a cheap kind of cloth, and usually it faded when you washed it. It was dyed when you washed it. It was 5 cents a yard. I don't know how anything could ever have been made that cheap. And it would be a yard of cloth. And the materials were not expensive. If they had been, there wouldn't have been enough sale for them, because people couldn't buy them enough.
Did you make most of your own clothes?
I made my, after I was about 14, I began making my dresses. And I made them till I began teaching, and I bought my clothes right now. But the mother practically all sewed their, made the children's clothes. And I remember my mother made my dad a suit. And they were pretty good, too, with machine, you know. They had patterns. Not the involved patterns. You had to know someone who had a chart. He'd take my mother had one, and she'd take up your measurements, and then I remember it had little holes all around, little pegs, and if your shoulder seam was 9 inches, she'd put the peg 9 inches apart, and then if your shoulders were about 14 and below that, she'd put that, and then out on the arm, and then she'd put that, you know. And that's the way they got the patterns, and they made pretty nice looking things, if I can remember.
Did they have, I don't even know what you call it, kind of forms, dressmaker's forms, that they would hang the material on when they were making?
You mean those hip skirts?
I guess what I'm talking about are these.
Oh, yeah.
Something standing
up. You mean
up
the dressmaker?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they had those. Some people had those.
That they could use to pin things on to make sure they fit.
Yeah. And that was about help. That was great. Yeah, help. Because you could fit the dress to that. And then it would fit the person because you had the measurements.
What do you think about the way that women's lives have changed between then and now?
Oh, women are just, they're crowding men off the face of the earth. I just don't like to think of the way women are taking the jobs away from the men. And they just, I don't know how the men have the heart to just keep on trying. Because the women, they just, they're so smart, and they have time to study, I suppose, that. And I don't know, someday, so I think we're going to have a president. Well, a president.
One of these days, it might well be. So you think that in those days, say in the 20s and 30s, that women were more satisfied with the role that they had in life than they maybe have been in more recent decades when they've been trying to change things.
I think everyone was more satisfied when we had less to be interested in. Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to look at it. I know that sometimes when people feel the need of a vacation, what they look for is a simpler situation.
Yes.
You know, because it rests their minds rather than the very complicated life you've got all the time.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah. Well, could you say which decade of this century you would rather see extended? Which one would you rather be living in?
Oh, I don't know. I would say I'm non-progressive. If I
said oh, no, so. Say it anyway.
Well, I think Miss Shipp answered that. I don't know if she had. Hello, who did you want to speak with? You should ring 632. It's all right. I'm Jerry Register's attorney. His number is 632 and I was 634 and we get his rings all the time.
Okay, well we're close to being finished, and if you would just tell us about which decade you'd like to live in, then we'll let you go for today.
Well, let's see. I'd rather live when my children. I'd rather live when I was raising them, 1919, and I guess I'll say 1920 to 1950.
Good times, huh?
Those were the times I liked to live in most, but of course that may have been quite different with other people.
Things seemed to start speeding up after 1950, didn't they?
Yes.
That's my impression.
Well, my children were gone, and so much of the interest of things was gone, and other they were gone. Mm-hmm.
Well, I sure enjoyed talking to you, and if you have other things that you think of that you'd like to tell us, maybe you could be thinking about it for a while, and Linda will talk to you next week sometime about coming to speak to you again if you have other things to tell us about Dybal and about your life.
I'm trying to see if I can think of anything.
Okay.
And I really appreciated the interview, and I hope you'll be well with the book. I feel you will.
Oh, I hope so.
It's an interesting little town.
It sure is. Sure is. We've been told that an oral history of a company town has not been done before. We think it's a very special situation that the Temple family had a kind of a vision which they kept up all those decades, and look what they've made of it.
Yes, I think Arthur Temple has really made that all flourish. She's been wonderful.
Well, good. Linda, will it work out for you to give her a call next week sometime?
I can either give you a call or if you want to set up a date now, we can do that.
Yes, call me about Friday.
Okay.
And,